Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. If you brought your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, this is the second part of this talk that we've entitled, When Your Hope Takes a Hit. Everybody say, When Your Hope Takes a Hit. When Your Hope Takes a Hit. And it is from the series, Focus, or Fix Your Focus. Have you ever been, while you're going that direction, have you ever been riding down the road, like in a rural area, and you're like the only one on the road, and then all of a sudden you see up ahead of you what looks to be like a mirage, and then as you get closer, it's some dude standing beside a cone with a stop sign or a slow sign. You ever been and you're like, what? And I'm like out in the middle of nowhere. What's going on? And then as you get closer, he's kind of dressed like this, and you know, you try to wave and, like, you know, because he's probably not seen anybody in half of his day, and you're like, hey man, what's going on? He's got that, you know, that ugly face. You know what I'm saying? Well, tonight I'm going to be that guy, but I got a smile on my face. And because it was so weird, because today I was preparing, and while I was preparing, I was trying to wash some clothes and multitask all at the same time to make it all happen. And when I went into the cabinet, I saw this vest. I don't even know what it's been used for. I have no idea why we have it. Maybe Amy can explain it to me later. I'm not really sure if it was a trick or treat from a long time ago, or if I was the YMCA guys in another life. What was their name? I don't know. Anyway, the Village People. I have no idea. I was looking for the hard hat. But anyway, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, go put that in your bag for tonight. And I was like, it has nothing to do with my message, but sure, yes sir, I'll do it. Put it in there. And then later in the afternoon, he showed me that I'm going to be that guy tonight. Because what happens is, whenever you come up to that person, he's actually, because there's work that's being done just behind him. That's why it's a one-lane road. So tonight, there's an important takeaway from this series, and we're going to end and conclude it tonight. But I'm going to be that guy because there's some work that's actually being done right now in probably every one of your lives. Some that's being done behind the scenes, some that you're aware of. How many knows that when you pass those guys? I was heading to Lakeland yesterday, and I was on that rural area, rural road, and I met that guy. And they were on a bridge, and they had a jackhammer. How many knows when anytime there's work being done to that magnitude, it's very messy, it's very loud. I believe in some of your lives tonight that you're on your journey, and you're actually experiencing those moments. And a lot of times, unless it was that guy that stands in front of you, says, you need to stop now, just hold up just a minute while we clear a path, or he's saying, what does he do? Say, go slow. Why? Because there's still work that's being done. You can still move forward, but you need to move forward with caution. So now I see why he was saying, you're going to wear that, because I'm going to be that guy tonight. And I'm going to wear it the whole time, because I want, every time you look this direction, I want you to see the fluorescent as a caution to everything that's going on in your life. Because the series is When Your Hope Takes a Hit. And we've all talked about it. It's very easy to lose hope when things aren't going the way we think they should. Or when we don't have an answer for why things are happening the way they are. Your hope takes a hit. And it's very easy to turn and walk away from what God has called you to if you forget what he told you in the light once you get in a dark place. Amen? All right, so let's read this verse tonight and just proceed with caution. Here we go. Matthew 26, verse 36 says this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, which means oil press or place of pressing. I believe we just talked about that. Sounds familiar? Pressed for purpose. Jesus was at that place. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Another translation, and I wrote this in my Bible, and I believe I said it last week, but another translation said that he was deeply stressed. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. stay here and keep watch with me. Verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So I broke this down just a little bit today because a lot of times when I'm studying, it doesn't just all come at one time. It's like when I go back and relook at it, he shows me something a little different. And so when I read that verse back to myself, verse 36 says, and then Jesus went with his disciples to a place. Remember we talked last week, I gave you some points, and one of those points was that you have to be in community. It's important that you stay connected to community. So Jesus had his community. We know them as the disciples. And he said, hey, he went with them, and they went with him. And then he said, stay here, and I'm going to go over there and pray. Now notice all the disciples didn't go. There was only just a select few that went from that place to another place. And if you recall from last week when I said it's important who is in that circle, you would have thought that all the disciples would have been able to go wherever Jesus was going, but he had them stay, and then the smaller crowd went here. So what I told you last week was whenever you're going through things in life, it's important that you have a group of people that you can have a gut vulnerable moment, gut check moment with. You can be honest and open, whatever it is, and they're not going to judge you. They're not going to hate on you. They're going to be there to support you, to listen. We talked about that last week, to listen and then to help you go further. I believe that this other group was that group. Not everybody in the church, I say it all the time, not everything is for public consumption, right? Not everything is for the church. That doesn't mean that we're all bad, but I'm connected to certain people at different levels. Therefore, the level that's my gut level, when I'm ready to bleed out a little bit, when I'm ready to really just share what's really going on, that can't be for everybody. That's got to be for a select few. But first, it has to be with my spouse. That's for all married people. Because see, the way the enemy comes in and goes, well, she might be interested in knowing what a bad day you're having, right? I'll just leave that right there. So, but it's important that you have that select group of people. And then it went on to say, and he took Peter and the two sons along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Stop. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Prince of Peace. We're talking about the Comforter. We're talking about the one that calms us when we're in trouble. Yet he was the very one that in that moment, he was sorrowful. And it even said, to the point of death. In other words, I'm done. I'm over this. So if you ever get to a place that whatever you're going through has gotten you so consumed and just remember Jesus went through it too. But then, check this out. But then it said, he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. A lot of times we stop right where we are and we never press forward. Are you following me? Okay, this is what he showed me. And then it said, but going a little further, he fell on his face. That told me that he was once in a place where he was sorrowful, he was troubled, almost to the point of death, but then he pushed a little farther. I keep saying further, that's south, but the Bible is not south. It says farther, but I keep wanting to say further. Depends on what side of the equator you're on. But anyway, he was once here, but he pushed. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you ever find yourself at a place where you're just overwhelmed, push yourself to one, just push yourself to, you've got to constantly push yourself to eventually you just get back up on your feet and start walking again. He got to that place, but then he fell on his face. Again, we're talking about Jesus. And he was in his most vulnerable moment. That's what I like about these verses. He was in his most vulnerable moment, humanity, we see that about Jesus in these verses. So don't ever allow the enemy to go, what you're going through, school, whatever, home life, whatever, dating can get sketchy sometimes. Don't ever allow the heaviness of what you got to cause you to believe that you can't make it anymore. Somebody say, I can make it. So the verses depict Jesus as the Son of God and the Son of Man, and it's his most vulnerable moment. This is the Thursday night before he went to the cross and died for all of our sins. That was that moment. So last week I gave you three things that we must have when we're facing opposition. If you weren't here last week, write these down because you're going to need these. When you're facing opposition, these three items you're going to need. Number one is you got to have a made-up mind. Number two, you have to have community. It is important to surround yourself with like people, people who have the same spirit, who have the same DNA as you. I'm not talking about family. I'm talking about his family, people that have the same family or DNA that you do. And number three, you just have to be humble enough to cry out and say, "Oh God, I need help." Because for too long, the church has preached a message that you look weak when you cry out. You've got to be strong in the midst of your struggle. No, you know what? If I'm going through it, I'm just going through it. I told somebody the other day, whatever you got going on, okay, that's fine. Create a space and then just go crazy in that moment. Like if you want to cry out to God, create the space, make it secure, only invite people to the party that are going to help you, and then you just go nuts before God. Just, "I don't understand. God, I need you. I'm at my wit's end." Jesus even said, "I'm sorrowful as unto death." In other words, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Anybody ever been there? Y'all can act holy and pious. I'm going to tell you, I've been there, and I visit that area frequently, like on a weekly basis. You got to get to a place where you cry out, because we know that Jesus is our hope. Well, he doesn't look like he's all full of hope himself right there. No. Listen, we know that he is our hope, and it's for that very reason that the enemy comes at us, because he's our hope. So what the enemy is attacking us, what he's coming after isn't even about you anyway. It's what's inside of you, and it's called hope. Who is hope? Jesus is our hope. So the whole reason he's bugging you is because you got hope. So what's he trying to steal from you? Your hope? Your joy? I say it all the time. If the devil steals your joy, he's stolen your strength. If he can get you so whip dog tired just to throw in the towel, you have no strength to fight. He tries to attack our hope, to discredit our hope. I'm talking about Jesus. He tries to attack the Jesus in us. You know, when that person cuts you off in traffic, that's attacking the Jesus in me right there. Because I got to dip a little further to find him, because I done pushed Jesus way, way down, and Bradley started coming up. Okay. He tries to discredit our hope. He tries, and causing us to feel hopeless. Why? Because Proverbs 13:12 says, it's not going to be on the screen, but it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." So when the enemy's coming after your hope, he's trying to get you to defer to something else, to another alternative. Why? Because if he can get you to defer your hope, you'll be sick. You'll be sick. Everybody say, "My mind." It's your mind. Your mind is under attack, and your soul is up for grabs as the enemy uses tricks, schemes, and strategies to try to take you out, to push you to a place where you give up. Let me just stop and say, if you've thought about giving up, number one, you're not alone. And if you weren't a threat to the enemy's kingdom, he wouldn't even be after you anyway, trying to get you to give up. Give up what? Your right, your power, your authority. That's what he's trying to get you to give up. Okay? I get it. Giving up is the easy way out. Well, if I just give up, the enemy won't bother me anymore. True, but then you'll have to pay an account for what you refuse to keep on doing for the kingdom. Amen? I know this may be a little hard, but I'm not trying. What I'm trying to do is to try to pull some people, because we all get in hopeless situations. Every one of us. Doctor reports, ex-spouse reports. Come on. I got a set of them too. So how many times you been married? Y'all want to talk? We talk later. Remember what I told you? It ain't all for public consumption. So anyway. it's a true story, and it's quite comical, but I'll spare you the details. But the enemy tries to put those obstacles in your way to get you to a place where you give up. I hear you say that all the time. Well, if it wasn't an option that we all look for, I'm having a hard time talking. Can you help me just a little bit? If it wasn't an option for us, I wouldn't have to keep reminding us. So probably even whatever the message topic is, we should always say, "Don't give up." Because we're all being faced with opportunities and an alternative route to give up. And that's a choice you make. The enemy can't force you to give up. That's a choice that you make, to give up. And there's too much at stake. Because what happens is, think about this. The battle is in our mind. And so if the enemy can cut our head off, if he can detach this from the rest of our body, then everything else that's attached to me will suffer. See, because if he gets in my mind, then those that are attached to me, those that are serving with me in ministry, they suffer too. Why? Because now I've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. See? But don't think that it's all a bed of roses for me. I've just decided that I'm going to be like Jesus, and I might be here, but I'm even if I have to crawl, even if I can, only way I can get there is to get on my face and crawl like a worm. I'm going to get there. I refuse to give up. Come on, somebody give Jesus Christ some praise right there. I'm just saying, you got to get to a place where you refuse to give up. The quit option can no longer be an option. Amy and I talked about that in our marriage. That was a conversation when we were looking at the quit option. So that my testimony could get even more crazier than it already is. We said, you know what? The quit option, we refuse to go there. It's no longer an option. And some of us need to adopt that into our own daily walk and journey. I refuse to give up. So your mind is under attack. Your soul is up for grabs. That's what the enemy is going after. That's why it's important that we have a made-up mind. You know, you've heard this verse, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Listen, what you're going through isn't about a doctor's report or tragedy in our life or unexplainable circumstances. That's the flesh. That's the flesh side. But what's really going on behind the scenes is it is a spiritual battle. The Bible says clearly that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in low places. That's not what it said. It says spiritual wickedness in high places. What are those waves that go from TV towers to radio towers and satellite Sirius XM into our... It's called airwaves. That's how the enemy's coming in, because we're watching stuff that we probably shouldn't watch. It's not that it's bad. It's not that it's pornography, but it's a negative situation that you're watching other people give up, and then you're getting to the enemy paints a picture about how glorious giving up looks. And then when we try to pull that card, giving up, our life is a wreck and wonder what's going on. See, the battle is in our minds, so he's using every avenue he can, whether it's music, whether it's what you're watching, listening to. He's using the airwaves to mess with your mind. And the enemy keeps coming because he wants us to quit. Because the enemy knows that if he can get you to buy into his vision, if he can get you to see what you're going through his lenses, then he knows that he's already won a critical battle. And I must remind you that you are in a dangerous place. Listen, in regards to community, I know I'm kind of hitting. I gave you the points last week, but I'm really going to tie these all together. In regards to community, if you go through something in life, and we all do, and we all will, multiple times, if you refuse to be in the middle of community, and then when your hope takes a hit, you try to be your own counselor, refusing the counsel or godly wisdom of someone else who might have already been through it, you are in a dangerous place, my friend. As believers, when life throws us a cheap shot, and hits us, and it goes deep, we must be humble enough to cry out. The enemy's always going to hit you below the belt. He's never going to hit you at a place where it don't hurt. Let me tell you, he's not playing games. He's playing for keeps. So if he can hit you hard enough to get just to knock the holy mess out of you and get you off kilter, you won't go to the destination that God has for you. We exist for community. We do better with we do better inside community. We're better together. We're stronger together. How many believe that tonight? So let me stir that pot a little bit about having a made-up mind. A made-up mind doesn't count until someone challenges your mind, your decision. The reason it's important to have a made-up mind is because somewhere somebody gonna make you want to turn around and say goodbye. I don't even know where that came from, but somewhere, somebody's going to turn around and make you cry because that you bought into to their lie. It's true. The enemy paints this glorious picture of what it'd be like if you follow his way. But I've never found anybody their picture really looked like that. Even when I tried to step out and dabble in a little bit of sin, it didn't look like it did in the movies. A lot of that had to do is because there was a call on my life and the conviction of God wouldn't allow me to go any further and enjoy it. Y'all have heard me say that all the time. It says there'll be pleasure in sin for a season. I was trying to find out what my season was that I actually can have fun with it, because he would never allow me to. Because God knew if he didn't have a tighter noose around my neck, that I would enjoy it too much and I'd probably never come back. So he didn't allow me. So if some of you are feeling that conviction even as I speak, or and God's reminding you of some things, kind of like in the Garden of Eden, when God said, you can have all of this is yours. You can have it all. But you see that tree? What tree? That tree right there? Don't eat of its fruit. And it's just like human nature. That one thing that we aren't supposed to have, we want that thing. Y'all know moms and dads, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't do this. What's the very one thing they run and do? So we learn with our oldest in the dating thing, we didn't even give our approval, because if we said no, that's where they were running to. We did reverse psychology. Man, that's a cool cat right there. If mom and dad liked them, they didn't. So we worked that out, and it worked in our favor. Not all the time, but most of the time it worked. It worked in our favor. See, the enemy planted a seed in Eve's mind. Remember what I was saying? Having a made-up mind isn't a big deal until someone challenges your decision to live for God, to not do it the way the world does it. If the enemy can change your mind about who God is, if he can change your perception of who God is, if he can change your view of God, he will ultimately change your direction away from God. If he can change your view of who God is, well, why is God allowing me to go through this situation? Why is this happening? If he's such a holy God, I thought he loves you. Why this? If he can get you to change your perception of what the word clearly defines who he is, then he knows that he's got you, because he's working you to go in the opposite direction. I can almost see it like he tries to be your best friend. You know those people who they try to get you to believe that they've got your best interest. They put their arm around you and you're like, dude, can you? It's like an ucky feel. You know what I'm saying? That's how the enemy does. Just talking that trash in your ear, and something, and especially if you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, you know something don't feel right. Run away. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. You don't have to run. Too many Christians running from the devil. Bless God, stand your ground. Push your plate back and go, this house, this family, all of this belong. You can take everything, but you can't take my soul. You can't take my mind. You can't take my spirit. You can rip me of everything. You can have it. Listen, we went to Job. Job lost everything. He lost everything. You can take it all, but you can't touch me. And we got to get to a place that you can have it all. As painful as all looks, whatever all is, however painful. But as long as you say, I will not change my mind about who God is to me. Watch God turn around on your behalf. I'm just saying. Because what I see tonight is I just feel like there's some people that have been in the ditch. And bless God, I'm trying to get in the ditch and I'm trying to help. And I see people just reaching and I just want to snatch them and go, it's going to be okay. Don't give up on God. He's not giving up on us. It's so cliche-ish, but I'm just saying. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Get a fight. Get a fight. You write that down. Tweet that. Come on, devil. You want some of this? You ain't ready. I got fight in me. But you better be ready to fight when he's, because bless God, he'll come at you. I'm in too deep now to give up and run. Listen, so tonight, if your heart is struggling and you're having a human moment, let me say this. It's okay. The church for too long has tried to tell people that even if it's not okay, fake it till you make it. Okay, I understand a little bit of that, but you need to find a place where you can just go, hey! I'm not happy about what you're doing. He's cool with that. Now, some people try to tell you, man, that's disrespectful. Listen, he even said, let this pass from me. I can't go any further. I believe it was Moses that said, look, if that's how you love, if all this that you're letting, if that's how you love, kill me now. Take me out. I've had that same experience. God, oh, I know you love me, but you allow me to go through this? Well, bless God, take me out. But the church has said, no, you can't be like that. Shame on us for making, that's why people can't get right, because give them a minute to have a pity party. Give them a minute. Don't blast it all over Facebook. Let them have a minute. And then when they're done, they'll be like, you're still here? Absolutely, I'm here. I wasn't going anywhere. Because I'm a servant of the King, and he ain't going nowhere, and I'm here to let you know I'm not going anywhere. Amen? So when people try to tell you it's not cool, go back to Matthew 26:39, where he said, I don't want to do it, but it's not about me. If that's your will, I'll do it. That's called a made up mind. Jesus knew what the end result was going to be before he got here. He knew when there was all these sacrifice and all these farm animals and all this stuff, he knew that the only thing that was going to forgive and cleanse sin was a spotless lamb without any blemish, without anything. And he said, I know what has to happen, and I'm going to be the one. So he's looking at the church. He set the example. He didn't come holy and God Almighty. No, he came in a manger, rode in on a donkey. So that we can see the human side. So it's obtainable for us. It's obtainable. He went through all kinds of disappointment and sorrow. Whatever the deepest sorrow you're feeling, he has felt that. Whatever the deepest disappointment you are feeling or have felt or will feel, always remember, God felt that. Jesus felt that. And he still said, not what I want, but I'm going to do what he wants. So have your moment. I'm not saying get drunk and go crazy and do something you'll regret later. I'm just saying create a safe place. Put some people around you and just let go. Let go. My flesh may not like it. My heart may hurt. But I choose to fix my focus and put my hope and trust in Jesus. I may be hurt. I may be in despair. But I refuse to give in to the lie of the enemy that it will stay that way. He does not care about me. I refuse. I refuse. Some of y'all need to get a refuse. Matter of fact, some of y'all need to get a Matthew 26:39 and get a nevertheless in your spirit. A nevertheless. I don't like it, I don't want it, but nevertheless, I will go. I don't like it, I don't understand it, but nevertheless, I will still serve him. It doesn't make sense, but nevertheless, I refuse to stay out of church. You need a nevertheless. If this is you tonight, I want you to stand. Who believes that God has a plan for your life? Who believes that God has greatness set aside for you? Who's believing for a breakthrough? Who has a broken heart? Who has broken disappointments? Who has a broken, who's in a hopeless situation? Let me introduce you. You might know him, but let me reintroduce you to the one. His name is Jesus. He is our hope. You're not hopeless. Hope is not lost. His name is Jesus, and he's very much found. Listen, you can't expect greatness without opposition. There is nobody that God used greatly that didn't hurt deeply. You can't expect breakthrough without obedience. Oh me. You can't ask God for a breakthrough if you're still messing around in it. God, I want you to deliver me from that. Well, then quit. No. That's many Christians. We don't say that, but our actions show that. God, I'm fasting, I'm believing. Well, stop eating that. No, I like it. But that's the, I know that's childish, but that's the game we play. God, I'm believing for a breakthrough, but yet I won't even be the one to help push the wall down. God, if it's going to be, you're going to have to do it all by yourself. I believe God can, but I believe until I put my best foot forward, the enemy, when he comes back, if I don't assist, then I'm going to go down the next time. But see, if I help push him back when he keeps coming, I'm getting stronger every time the devil hits me. Every time he comes, I'm stronger. You need to get a nevertheless. Because with a nevertheless, you will go forward. Whew, that hurt. Listen, you must leave here tonight with a made-up mind, knowing that you belong to God in spite of what you... I've been preaching it for the past 4 or 5 months. No matter if things are bad and not going good, it does not change the determination that Jesus is no longer good. He's still good. Even when it hurts, he's still good. Well, how can you say that? Because I got a nevertheless. It might not be working out the way, and I don't understand, but nevertheless, I refuse. My mind is made up. My mind is made up. How many's got a made up mind tonight? I hope after all of that ranting and raving, your spirit has been recharged. And if you've been one of that one in the ditch, that you're just reaching up, and we're pulling you out of that, pulling you out of that. One caution for all of us that are on the other side of the ditch, that are up, don't pull unless they're ready. Because if they don't want help, you let go, they're going to slip right back down. I hear people all the time, people want to help somebody. If they don't want help, but what I refuse to do is to give up on them. I'm going to be here when you're ready. And I'm going to give you all the time. And if you come around me, baby, it's a safe space. There's no judgment. This judgment-free zone. Whatever. I get it. There's hurt. Man, I have conversations in my car with God. Screaming. People probably think I'm schizophrenic. God, I love you. God, you make me mad sometimes. Y'all ever get that way? Don't give up. 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 It's why you don't see change in cities. It's why you don't see change in churches. It's why you don't see change. It's why you don't see change, because people, they give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Father, I thank you for your word tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.